Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just give you praise and glory, Father God. We just thank you for this day. We thank you for the sun shining, Lord, Father God, on the outside and on the inside, oh God. And I just thank you, Father God, for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the creator of the universe, Lord, Father God, but you are Abba Daddy, Lord, Father, that we can just come and crawl up in your lap, Lord, Father God, and you love us and you've equipped us, you've encouraged us, you've empowered us, oh Father God. And you said if I opened my mouth that you would fill it. So, Father, I want you to be magnified. I want you to be glorified, Lord Father God, and only let me speak that is pleasing to you, Lord Father, that will encourage, that will edify, that will build up the body of Christ, Lord Heavenly Father. So have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. War cry, don't give up, is the topic of my message. And I'm going to start with just the words that the Lord gave me a couple of weeks ago. My pastor came to me and she said, Nancy, would you speak? We're equipping. We're sitting at tables that are in Make a U. And she said, it's your turn. Would you like to speak? And I said, well, yeah. And I said, what do you want me to speak on? And she said, because she'd give me, we'd done a spiritual gift assessment. And she said, after we did that, she'd give me a list. And she said, I want you to pick things that you would be interested in teaching. And I thought, okay, that's easy, and that's easy, and that's easy, literally. And so I said, I don't even remember what I circled. She said, the promises of God. Why don't you do that? And I thought, then I remembered that I did pick fasting too. And I said, oh, I can do the promises of God. And she said, teach on one of them or all of them. And I thought, okay, I'll just cover the Bible. And so then the Lord started downloading some things into me. And I did not know it at that time. He was preparing me with the word for what I was getting ready to go through at that particular week or two. And so anyway, these are some of the promises. And I want you to think, this is like kind of interactive here. And you can tell me, you know, time out or whatever. And if you have a comment or want to ask a question or whatever. But what are some of the promises that God has spoke to you? Because he says, my sheep know my voice and they hear me, they know me. And so he speaks to us through circumstances. He speaks to us through the word of God and through other people and whatever. So the thought was, and the question, what promises has God spoken to you? Well, I'm in a glow, and I used to do jail ministry before chemo, and they asked me to not do it anymore since then. I can get up and I can really start teaching anybody, and I'm on a roll, and I'm just so excited when I go. It's one of the most rewarding things that I do, and I'm just teaching and teaching, and this young girl made a comment or something, and I can't remember that part, and I said, oh, no, God is not a man that he should lie. And she says, where is that? And I thought, now don't stop me. I'm on a roll here. I'm going somewhere. I'm teaching. Don't distract this mind. And I said, oh, well, wait a minute and I'll look it up because I didn't know where it was. But I'm like clay. Now he said, it's in here, you know, but I do like to have verse in scripture. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it? Will he not do it? Or has he spoken it? And will he not make it good? And it's like, whoa, God, that was for me. Because I went through a lot of testing before I was diagnosed with lung cancer, October the 24th, which is tomorrow, a year ago. So that was the first scripture that came to me that was Numbers 23:19. Isaiah 55:11. My word will not return void, but it will accomplish that I intended to. Not what you want that word to take and work in your life, but he said that word will accomplish what I intended to. And then Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Commit your way to the Lord and he'll direct your path or something like that. You look it up, okay? Because I only have a few script words there. But it's 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. And because, see, that's your soulish part, your mind, your will, and your emotions. We're to be led by the Spirit. And he said, don't trust in yourself. Trust in the Lord. And then Romans 8:6-7, it says the carnal mind is an enemy of God. So if you're thinking out of your own mind, our mind is to be renewed, because I was 22 when I got saved. And so for 22 years, I walked the way of the world, and I thought like the world did, and I acted like the world did. And then I got saved, and then the Lord says, but be not conformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now you have to turn this way, and you have to start thinking a different way. So the carnal mind is an enemy. So if we're thinking our own thoughts, and that was one of the things, one of the scriptures in Romans 4:17, God calls those things that do not exist as though they are. And he's talking about Abraham when he told Abraham he was going to, you know, be a father. And he said, I call those things that be not as though they are, because Abraham wasn't a father. And then Proverbs 4:20-24 says, my son, incline your ear unto my words. Keep my sayings in the midst of you. They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Now, I've left out some of that, but that's the gist of it. Incline your ear unto my sayings. They are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. So it's like, wow. And these are just some of the promises of God that started coming, that, you know, the word of God. And so the thing of it is like, I really want you to think, has God spoken some things to you? And some of the other promises was Galatians 3:13 through 14. Well, these were just things about trusting in the Lord. Now, these are the words that God, that came. Galatians 3:13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, Jesus being made a curse for us, because everyone that hangs on a tree. So we're redeemed from the curse of the law. And then it says in Romans 8, 1 and 2, the law of the Spirit has made me free from the law of sin and death. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless the Lord, and forget none of his benefits. He forgives us of our iniquities. He heals us of all of our diseases. He satisfies our mouth with good things. And it goes on down, and he does not judge us according to our iniquities. So bless the Lord, Psalms 103. Isaiah 54:13, the Lord gave me this a long time ago when my kids were in school. All your children will be taught by the Lord, because I used to say of the Lord, but all your children shall be taught by the Lord. And I would say, whoa, thank you, God, that you're teaching Kylie and Punker. Punker's his nickname, he's Larry Jr. And I said, oh, thank you, God, that you're teaching Kylie and Punker. Well, that went on for a couple of years, and finally I said, God, what are you teaching Kylie and Punker? You know, it just kind of hit. When they went through a struggle, that I am faithful. When they got rejected by a friend, that you're accepted in the beloved, that I'm with you. Because I have two kids that do have a heart for God. They're not perfect by no means, but they both serve God. And I'm just so proud and blessed by both of them. But it was like, whoa, that's a good scripture, parents. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that raises itself, I condemn it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. No weapon formed against me. Job 22:28 says, you shall declare a thing, and I will establish it. And then 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. And it's like, whoa, God, doesn't that all kind of sound really good? That, you know, then another question come to me. He's made all these promises, and we prayed these prayers, and we prayed these promises, and maybe not so much, because I keep hearing proclamation, declarations. Maybe we haven't really been declaring the word of the Lord, but we know the word of the Lord, so we need to go back to basics. But it's like, God, how long am I going to have to wait for that promise to come to pass? That was a, how long are you going to wait for the promise to come to pass? Well, I'm going to flip back here a little bit. In January, the conference was in Georgia, and Dee and Mary, Beth and Sabre came and stayed with us this year, and they came last year. And so I was asked to speak at that conference, and my title was Faith. And when I was asked, I don't even know if I had been diagnosed yet, but Nancy mentioned a lot about numbers, so I kind of felt like the Lord said, yes, I want you to go back and do this, because I didn't really want to go back and do this. I was just going to take up from, because I went to Alaska too and spoke in April, so I was going to take up from Alaska to here. But for some that don't know, August the 4th, 2014, that was last year, I got a telephone call in the morning. And I go to Eisenhower Medical, Army Medical Center, whatever it is. I say Fort Gordon, that's where it's at. And I got a telephone call, and they said, "Hello, Miss Robinette. This is Dr. Joseph's nurse. And you had a test in June 2013. I thought, so. That was a year ago. And that I didn't see my primary care doctor. And you were supposed to follow up, and you didn't do it. And I thought, what? Now, I'm not stupid. I've got the mind of Christ. And I thought, I don't remember that. Maybe I remember the x-ray, and because I went for like something like upset stomach or something, because I'm never sick. I'm very healthy. And so I got that telephone call, and they said, "Would you come back out and do a chest x-ray?" I said, "Oh, sure. What the heck? Why not? I've been walking. I'm doing good." And Danny Stain, his mountain of worship in Columbia, but now he's up, he's moved from New Jersey to Connecticut, had been to the church the week before, and he said, "God wants us to live in the supernatural." And I thought, whoa, God, that's what I got out of re-listening to his message, because I was trying to find the point where it was a word, and that had been given to Kylie. Well, then, August the 11th is my birthday. I turned 64 last year, and I have a dear friend, and she called, and she said, "Nancy, I can't get away from your birthday." She said, "You're going to be 64. It adds up to 10. My birthday's 8/11. It adds up to 10. She said, "Go on Bullinger's numbers in the scripture." Am I talking too fast? And go on Bullinger's numbers in the scriptures and look up the number 10. Complete order, divine order, complete, lacking nothing. Whoa, God, that's a good number. And so then on August the 12th, that was when they made the appointment. I go out to Fort Gordon, and I have the chest x-ray, and they said, "My doctor's really good to call me." She said, "I'll call you and let you know if there's anything." And so then, August the 13th, I get an email from Lynn Hammond, prayer notes. Her husband's Matt Hammond. They were with Kenneth Copeland, Hagen, and all of them and whatever. And I hadn't gotten anything from Lynn in a long time. And so it says, "Nancy Robinette," in big letters across my little screen on the Facebook thing. It says, "Is your faith strong and healing?" And like she was standing there, I kind of said, yeah, until it's tested. In the Gospels, there's 19 incidents, situations where people got healed. And the 19 is the number for faith. Of that 19, 10 of them, Jesus says, "Your faith has made you whole." There we go back to the number 10. Okay, one of these days, I didn't put it down because it wasn't important, they gave me a birthday party at a Methodist church ground, a campground connects to our property, and we invited a lot of people. Well, 10 showed up. 10 is the number, and Nancy said, for testimony. But someone told me it was also a time of preparation that, you know, so it's like, oh, okay. Well, then I got a telephone call, and they said, "Uh-oh, Miss Robinette, we found something on your chest x-ray." And I thought, okay. And I can't tell you the peace that I had through it. So I go back out there, and they did a CT scan on the 15th, and I get an appointment at pulmonary, and the 18th. And he said, "Miss Robinette," and he shows you all the stuff. I don't like looking at that junk. I'm a housewife. I'm not a doctor. And on both of my lungs were lesions. And so he said, "We're going to do biopsy." And so I said, okay. And so they take me in, and they stick a thing down your throat, and they brush my lung, and they took a biopsy. And he was supposed to call within so many days, and he didn't. And I thought, yeah, because they don't know what to do. They can't find anything. And so he called back, and he said, "Miss Robinette, we couldn't find anything. And there's three things we can do. We can bust your chest open, we can do a needle biopsy, or we can do another bronch. Because we really believe the tool wasn't big enough. So we'll order another tool." Well, they had to order 20 because they didn't sell them in lots of one. So they did the needle biopsy. They did that, and they couldn't find anything. Well, in the meantime, they decided, what the heck? Because thank God my husband lost a leg in Vietnam and doesn't cost us anything. He's medically retired. So nothing, no medicine, no test cost us anything. And so they said, "We're going to do another bronch. That's least invasive." So I said, okay, well, guess what? It took longer to get the results back. And I told Kylie, "I am a sign and a wonder." And they're saying, "Wonder why we can't find anything. We did the PET scan. They didn't find anything." this lady almost went to sleep in the chair before they come in and put all this junk down your nose. And the doctor said, you were in your happy place, weren't you? I really was. I had such peace. And so then they said, we're going to do a needle biopsy. And I said, okay. And you know, it's funny that I just realized they did that on the 15th of October. So they do the needle biopsy. And but they had gotten together with a board of doctors and radiologists and surgeons, just in case they found something, what would you take and do with it? Well, then I go in, and I thought they were going through the side, but they went through my chest, and they did the needle biopsy. And October the 24th, the phone rang, and they said, this is Dr. Burkett. And he said, I hate to give you bad news on a Friday, but he said, it is what we were looking for. I lost a kidney to cancer in 1991. Do the math, it's 24 years ago this past June. And it was renal cell is what they call it. So I don't really have lung cancer. But the renal cell metastasized to my lungs. And it's like, I was shocked, literally shocked. And the peace left. I have to go, I'll throw that in right now in case I forget it. And it was like, so I told my husband and he said, oh. And that's about the extent of the conversation we've had about it in the last year, even though he goes to every doctor's visit and my chemo treatments with me. And so I get up early. Sometimes the Lord will wake me up at 3 or 4 o'clock. So I get up early, and I'm at the couch praying, and I'm just crying and weeping. And I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, Nancy, go get your notes on the potter and the clay. In the year 2000, I went to a conference, and there was someone that did like a 15-minute devotion on the potter and the clay, and it was awesome. And then a glow asked me to speak a year or two later on the potter and the clay. And it's like, oh, okay. And I went right to the hall closet, got pulled a notebook out. I had 4 or 5, but it was in that first notebook. And I kind of sort of thought I knew where God was taking me. And he said, there's steps. They pull the clay out, and then they take and beat the clay and wash it and dry it and sift it and add more water, which is the Holy Spirit. And then they fashion it. And after they fashion it, it's just a big old lump of clay that looks like something, but it's not useful because it hasn't been put in the furnace. And the Lord said, I'm putting you in the fiery furnace. And so it was like, okay, I'm in a test. And so then I had to go to oncology. They give me an appointment at oncology the 12th month, December. Number 12 is governmental establishment. And so I went and I saw her. She's 36, sweet as she can be. She's really nice. And she said, well, she said, we're going to have you do like an EKG, an EEG, and all this kind of junk to make sure your heart's okay, because if the chemo damages it, we want to know what's normal and what's not normal. And so I said, okay. She said, call and make that appointment. And when you get that appointment, I want to see you within a day or two of that appointment. I said, okay. So I called, got the appointment for December the 16th. 16th is the number for love. And so I called the oncology clinic, and I said, I need, but that morning I prayed, and I didn't normally pray, because I know the little steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and I just trust him. I always pray when I get in the car, and I said, at Fort Gordon, you never knew who you were going to see to begin with, and I said, Lord, whoever the doctor is, give them wisdom and knowledge and whatever, and but I prayed that morning, Lord, you give me the appointment that you want me to have, and so I said, okay. And I call out there, and I said, I need an appointment with Dr. Steele. Now, this is before, because I haven't even went to the cardiology to do the test. I just had the appointment. And they said, okay, January the 15th. And I said, no, that's 5 weeks. And she wanted to see me within a day or two. Well, Miss Robin, that's the only appointment that she's got left. And I said, I'll take it. I'll take it. And so it was like the Lord said, I want you to go look up what the number 15 means. The biblical number tied to celebration and rest after a victory or a harvest. Whoa, God! Oh, that's a good word, isn't it? So I said, I'll take the 15th. But see, I already knew 6 weeks is a long time in medicine, she told me. She said, Miss Robinette, we're going to do another CT scan. I said, praise God, because it's going to be clear, Mary Beth. And I said, okay, you can do it. But we'll just celebrate after another day on the 15th because we're going to do this thing here. So I go in and I do the CT scan. Now, she doesn't ever call. I have to wait if it's 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or a month till I get to her, and then she comes in and tells me. And so it wound up that I happened to go January the 21st, the day these ladies came into my house. I had a doctor's appointment, and I go, and my CAT scan's going to be clear. And I went to the doctor, and she said, well, Miss Robinette, nothing's changed, and it's very, very slow-growing cancer. And so she said, this is what we've decided to do. We're going to give you pills to try, you know, for the chemo. It's a chemo pill. You take it 4 weeks, you're 4 weeks on, you're 2 weeks off, and you go back again. Well, I have to back up a little bit here. I was adamant, no chemo. I'm not doing chemo. I had a sister that had 4 major cancers, 17 years. She died at 49. My mother was like 79. She got lymphoma. She had 1 chemo treatment, total organ failure. She lived another 18 months because she got it in her mind. She was healed when the doctor said no more chemo. She said, praise God, 1 treatment healed me. And as a man thinketh in his mind, so easy. So my mother was healed and never had any more trouble with that. And so I said, no chemo. Well, the 30th of December, I was in bed, and I said, God, where are you? I don't hear you. I'm just not feeling you, because it was a rough time mentally. And I said, I don't know where you're at. I don't know if I hear you anymore, God. And he started just speaking to me and reminding me. I'd gotten involved with a ministry for 6 weeks that they did things, and they put me on leadership. And they said, Nancy, we want you to do this, and we want you to do this, and we want you to do drama. I don't do drama. You know, I just keep me back. I'll wash dishes and cook because I can cook good. And so he reminded me, and it was like I said, oh God, you do trust me. And Lord, you would never let me go through this if you didn't trust me for me to handle it and bring glory to him. But I have to trust him that he's going to bring glory out of it, but he still trusts me. Because a lot of times I've prayed for people and I've patted their hand and I said, D, God says he's trusting you to go through this. You will bring glory and honor to him. And so then it was New Year's Eve, December the 31st, and we're football people. I am. And we're sitting up and we're watching a football. And Larry Ray went to bed at midnight and my mind was going. So I'm flipping channels and I got to a movie about the woman that wrote a book about a deer. I can't remember what it was now. It doesn't matter. So it goes off at 5 after 2. And I said, you know, it's already Happy New Year. I'm going to read my Bible. And I go in and I sat down and that little notebook was there. And I started thumbing. And I said, I want a blank piece of paper. But when I got to a certain part, I found and it wasn't this, I've rewritten it, but there were some loose pieces of paper. And when is this from? 2009. And on there, because see, I'm adamant with no chemo. Rest comes before ruling. And I thought, wow, that sounds good. And peace before power. And I thought, wow, how do you think that you are going to rule over the enemy when you won't even surrender to me? I thought. And I knew what God was saying through that. I cried and I hit my knees. And I said, God, if you want me to do chemo, I'll do chemo. And so I came home angry the 21st of December with the chemo pills. And so I started taking them, and I spoke on having faith in God, and it really was helpful for me to teach on that at Nancy's conference. And then I weighed 250 pounds, and I had already started walking because I wanted to, we think a lot of things are sin, like homosexuality, but we don't think overeating is, and, you know, smoking, but we don't think not taking care of our bodies and exercising it. So I started walking and losing a little bit of weight and everything. But then I got to the point when I started the chemo, and you come home with 3 pages of side effects. And thank God my hair thinned, but it didn't fall out. That was my biggest concern. I didn't want my hair to fall out. So I was sick as a dog. I couldn't eat for 3 weeks. But on December the 10th, I had a pill on the 10th, a pill on the 11th, and the 13th, and then I had a week, and then I went back to the doctor. I didn't figure up those dates. But on February the 10th, the Lord sent my sister to see me, and she hadn't been to my house in about 10 or 12 years. She got mad because I quit doing a Christmas tree. And anyway, but she's a pastor, and the Lord spoke to her, and he said, you take this word to Nancy. Don't you call her. You take this word to her. And she come over, and she said, Nancy, the Lord spoke to me and told me to come and tell you Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2, cry comfort to Jerusalem, comfort Jerusalem. Tell her her warfare is over, her sins are forgiven, and I will repay her double for her trouble. Amen, amen. So it's like, whoa, God, February. So it's kind of like, okay, my warfare's over. So you do so many cycles, and then you have another CT scan. And I don't know how long the cycles are, or how it, I don't keep up with that stuff. They do. That's their job. And mine is to trust God. And so I go back, and they say, Ms. Robin, we're going to do a CT scan. And it's like, whoa, praise God. It's going to be clear, Mary Beth. It's going to be clear. And I go in, and they said, well, Ms. Robin, and I got the physician's assistant rather than the doctor that time, I think. And she said, spent 45 minutes explaining what the menorah and about me going to a conference and speaking. It was a God thing, you know. In the last 15 minutes, she listens to me breathing. She said, well, you're doing good. And she said, oh, your CT scan's fine. She said it even showed some regression, dead cells. And I thought, well, praise God for that. But I really have to be honest with you. I was disappointed. It wasn't clear. God, my warfare's over. You give me a promise in your word. You said your word won't return void. It'll accomplish what you intend. Lord, what's going on here? How long do we have to wait? Well, now that's mixed in with the Lord speaking to me for me to speak at the church. And he said, how long do you have to wait? Well, then you know what happened? He said, how long did Abraham wait? And then he said, how long was Joseph in prison? And then it was, how long before David went on the throne after he was anointed? And not only did David have to wait to go on the throne, Saul tried to kill him because he was jealous of him. And somebody mentioned Saul in a class earlier saying, here, put on my armor. I heard somebody preach and said, you really want to know why Saul wanted him to put on his armor? Because he wanted people to think it was him that killed Goliath and not David. You see, all this stuff that we still deal with in church today. And so the Lord is telling me all about these people, and it's like so. But Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I'm going to turn there. And I know most Christians that know the word of God know that it's like by faith, Abraham, by faith, somebody else. And they mentioned it this morning. They that come to God must, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. And so I just kept reading and everything. And then it was like, whoa, I got over here in 11:33. It says, who through faith, all of these people in the hall of faith, it's like Rahab and Joseph and David and Abraham and Enoch and all them people that are up there. Y'all can go read it at home. Through faith, they subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became vigilant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens, and women received their dead. Now, these were the people that believed God and trusted in his word and never saw the promise. Because they were way back then. But we're getting ready to see the promise. It is time for goodness and mercy, signs, wonders, and miracles. It is time for breakthrough. I was at a Bible study last week, and this woman kept saying, it is time, and breakthrough's one word, but she kept saying, breakthrough. And when she said that, it was like I saw a baby coming out of a woman's, between her legs. That baby breaks through. The womb, the whatever, it just comes through. But it's a breaking through. And I said, whoa, God, you're getting ready for us to take and break through. But then what the Lord did, he sent me to Genesis chapter 12, and he said, we're going to talk a little bit about Abraham. So in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. Now that's a promise to Abraham. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And in you, all the families of the world shall be blessed. All the families of the earth will be blessed. And it's like, wow. The commentary says here that these verses indicate that God separated Abraham from him, his idolatrous family, because his father was an idol maker, in order to make him and his descendants a messianic nation, a nation that believed in Messiah, Yeshua, which would bring salvation to the earth's families. And I thought, whoa, God, that's good. Then he goes over in verse 15, chapter 15, verse 4 through 6. He said, behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come out of your body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall be your descendants. He believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. God said he took everything that Abraham had done and him believing God. And when God said go, he got up and went. And he believed it. And he computed it all together and counted it as righteousness. Now we have to be careful, because a thought just come to my mind when I was teaching on this. And we say, oh, well, he worked for it. No, he didn't. He believed God and God did it. Because when his body was dead and no use, and Sarah's body was dead, he had been given a promise. But he had to wait on it. So God said, I've looked at all that and I've counted it to you as righteousness. And then in verse 8, Abram said, Lord, but how shall I know that I will inherit it? And so he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram and pigeons and everything. And when he had brought all of these things, they cut him in two and put him on opposite sides of the other. And he said, I'm going to cut covenant with you. God said, I'm going to cut covenant with you. And it says, there's Kingdom Dynamics in my Spirit-Filled Life Bible, and I want to read it, because it says, the direct requirement of a blood sacrifice as the means of established covenant first appears here. And God's instructions to Abraham, and with his instructions, the animals to be offered were selected, cut in halves, arranged in the proper order opposite one another. The covenant parties then passed between the halves, indicating that they were in an irrevocable bond one to another with blood. The cutting in halves of the sacrifice spoke to the end of the existing life for the sake of establishing a new bond or a new covenant. The sacrifice nature of this bond was attested to by the shedding of life blood. But in this instance, only God passed between the pieces, indicating it was his covenant and he would assume responsibility for its administration. Present in this account of covenant making are three essential ingredients: a bond that originates from God's initiative, God choosing, the offering of a blood sacrifice as a requirement of covenant, and God's sovereign administration of the outcome. So, whoa, God, does that speak to you or what? He said, I chose you before the world was formed. I went in love, Ephesians chapter 1, and I chose you, Judy. I chose you. What's your name? Shirley? I chose you, Shirley, to be my child before the world was ever formed. And he knew everything about you then. He said, I chose you. So he chose Abraham. And he said, but I'm going to give you a covenant. I'm going to make covenant with you. And it is a blood covenant. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, but became sin that we don't have to pay for our sin, who became sick that we don't have to carry our sickness, who bore our pain, took our peace upon him. And he said, he hung on the cross and he said, it's finished. I have completed the work. You don't have to do a thing, but trust me. I told you, I'm not a man that I should lie. Did I not speak it? Did I not say it? Will I not do it? And he said, yes, I've cut covenant with you. I've chosen you. And you know what? Because of the blood adoption. Who was it? Somebody said, adoption is better than a natural child. I had a friend that just adopted her grandchildren because the parents weren't doing their job, and these kids were 14 and 15, and an adoption is irrevocable. She can't give those kids back to their parents, and they're still living in the same town. So God can't give us back. He's adopted us, and with the blood of Jesus, and you know what? My DNA was changed. I used to be a Hendrick. I ain't ever been a Robinette. Just by what the law says. But I am a child of the Most High God. With the blood of Jesus Christ. It has no cancer. Has no arthritis. Has no deteriorating back disease. That has no nothing. But life. And abundant life in it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. And then he turned to 17, chapter 5, and he said, Abraham, no longer shall you be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Now, I want you to listen to this. The words we speak is what it's talking about. One of the explicit teachings of the Bible is the importance of the words we speak. And Clay talked about that in his message this morning, which was powerful. In this text, God changes Abram's name to Abraham, promises Abraham he will be a father of many nations. Abram means high father or patriarch. Abraham means father of multitude. Thus, God was arranging that every time Abraham heard or spoke his own name, he would be reminded of God's promise. Adam Clark's commentary states, God associated the patriarch more closely with himself by thus imparting to him a portion of his own name. Noting God added this to Abraham for the sake of dignity. The principle, let God's words, which designate the will and promise for your life, let God's words that designate the will and promise for your life become as fixed in your mind as governing your speech as God's changing Abraham's name and shaping his concept of himself. Do not name yourself anything less than God does. Because every time God went in, he said, Father of many nations. Father of many nations. Do y'all know what Nancy means? Grace. Grace. And I said at lunch, and I said, what does David mean? Beloved. Beloved of God. What does your name mean? And you know what? Who does God say you are? I went to this conference. It was our anniversary, October the 30th last year. And I said, Larry Ray, you can come. It's our anniversary. You can stay home. It was our 43rd. And I said, I don't know what it's about, but I'm going. And it's about God doing a new thing. That, you know. And so I went up there. And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And she had all the leaders at the meeting the day before. And she said, and a lot of them are ex-military. What do you see? What do you see with everything that's going on in the world? And someone said, well, we need to put boots on the ground. We don't need to put roots on the ground. God's going to bless America. America's time is over, blah, blah, blah. Well, I woke up at 3 o'clock, and Evelyn, you know what I heard? You are the boots on the ground. You are the boots on the ground. You are the boots on the ground. And then I'm doing jail ministry, and we're talking, and I said, don't you ever let your lawyer, your shack job, your significant other, your husband, your mother, whatever they are, tell you you're stupid. You're nothing but an ex-con or whatever. I said, you are who God says you are. And he says we are weapons of mass destruction. But what are we going to destroy? The mindset. Tear down those strongholds. Bring every thought captive into obedience to the word of God. I am a weapon of mass destruction. Because when I get in a conversation, and I've had family members say, can you never talk about anything but God? I could talk a lot of crap right now if I wanted to. But it's not going to edify. It's not going to lift up. It's not truth. It's not going to impart life. So what are we going to go there for? I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I went to an introvert, to a mighty woman of God. Well, then, I don't want to leave this out. 17, 15, because he changed Abraham's name, Abram, to Abraham. Father of many nations. Then God said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And said, her name means princess. Both of them meant princess. But he said, I'm changing her name to bring her into covenant in her own right. Whew. When I taught this at church, I said, need to say that again. Because that's Old Testament. New Testament says there's no Greek nor Jew, male nor female, circumcised or uncircumcised. But even this morning when Nancy was talking, she said, Barak went to Deborah and said, Deborah. Because Deborah went to Barak first and she said, did not the God tell you to take and go defeat this enemy? Well, I'll go, but if you go with me, she said, I'll go, but you won't get the glory a woman would. That's Old Testament, because God's raising up women. And I think, Lord, it's funny how you're revealing these things out of these women. This was Sarah's covenant, because she was a separate entity. Yes, they became one, but God said, I'm making covenant with you. So it's like, praise God. So then, now I'm going to switch back to where I am now. And let me go to my notes to remember what I've been through. My sister comes, she gives me the word, and everything's kind of going good, or so I think. But it's like, you know, let me throw this in. I don't think I did, that I got sick. I was allergic to the chemo. I got every symptom when I told you there was 3 pages of stuff. And it's like, I go in to see the doctor after I had been off of it for a week and the weight was coming off. And wasn't bad then. It wasn't bad weight coming off, but weight was coming off. And she said, well, Miss Robinette, how are you? And I said, and I was a lot better. And because I started going to a holistic thing, to where I got into a machine and she was doing some things that my sister works for her husband. It was a godly woman. And I said, well, Dr. Steele, I'm going to start at the top. I had big knots that broke out at the back of my head like boils, but they wouldn't come to a head. My ears were crusty, and the only way to tell it is like a little kid's snotty nose. I couldn't get my finger or nothing, and it itched, but my ears were matted. My eyes would mat in the morning, and I couldn't see, and I rubbed them till the skin was raw. I had big boils, and yesterday my face itched like crazy, and they come up like big old boils. I had one here, and it was pussy, but they're so far under the skin you can't pop them. My face looked like you took an ice pick to it yesterday, but I put some medicine on it and it clears it up really good, because it's got something in the name of the chemo that I'm taking is in this medicine. So I'm taking chemo, it breaks my face out, and I'm using some similar of the chemo to put on my face and whatever. So anyway, I got really sick, and I went in and my tongue peeled. It's like my nose, my ears, my eyes, and I've had these, I don't know so much that I had little bumps, and my tongue peeled. And when I'm telling her some of this stuff, and gout, like you wouldn't believe, because I couldn't eat, and it's what you eat affects with gout, but when I wasn't eating anything, and my teeth, I couldn't hardly brush my teeth, I was a sick little puppy. And so my sister came and gave me that word, and I said, oh, praise God. But I got sick the day I took the pill when Judy was there, and I'd never been sick. But I went ahead and finished the other 2 pills, and I go to Dr. Steele, and she said, oh, my God. She had some student resident in there, and she turned to him. She said, do you think it could be like mucositis or something? And then he turns, and he said, did your tongue peel? I said, yes. I could take toilet tissue and peel my tongue off. She said, oh, my God. I'm so glad you ran out of medicine. She said, Miss Robinette, oh, and I had little like blood blister things under my fingernails. It just looked like I bruised it in little blood things. That was the only symptom. I was allergic to the chemo. It was Steven Johnson syndrome. She said, if you hadn't run out, it was chemical burning from the inside. She said, you'd been in the burn center, and a lot of people die from it. And it was like, well, we're going on hold, back to the drawing board, blah, blah, blah. And my sister Googled it. I don't do all that. I just Google numbers and things like that. And she said, Nancy, you don't know how much God had your back. I said, no, You don't know how sick I was. I try, and my husband would say every morning, how's your tongue? Can you eat? Because he wanted to go out to eat or he wanted me to cook. And I'm thinking, oh, it was so much pressure. It was bad. It was, so they took me off the chemo. And but then I thought, well, you know, God can take and heal me during all this and everything. And so I go back on the chemo April the 1st, and it's infusion. I have a port, and I go once a week in April. And I started April the 1st, and then I went to the end of April. I go to Alaska, and that I knew I was to go. And Kylie usually comes with me because she's my best friend, and she takes very good care of her mother. And but she couldn't go with me. Sorry. Because she came home from Alaska, from Washington, D.C. She went to live in Washington, D.C. She's been on to Africa twice. And she loved Washington, D.C., and the Lord brought her back home. And we would go to a meeting, and this man, he didn't know that I was doing tests or diagnosed or anything. He said, Kylie, you don't realize how important it is that you're here. God's brought you here. Well, we didn't understand it because I wasn't sick. You know, I hadn't been diagnosed or anything. But then when I got diagnosed, because my husband couldn't handle it, my son and I have always been like that. He didn't come for 6 weeks. And it was like, I would see friends, and Dee would say, oh, Nancy, can't talk, gotta run. And Mary Beth would run, and people that knew me, and I wanted to say, Judy, honey, you can touch me. You won't catch it. And I was so ashamed, and I wanted to say, I didn't do anything. It's not my fault. But it's what I've done right. It's who I am in the Lord. And that, he said, but I'm testing you, and you're going to come out as pure gold. And when Debbie Andrews was praying for me, she said, you've been in the fiery furnace, and you've been refined, and it now, arise, shine, your light has come. Isaiah 60 is my verse. She didn't say that except to rise. It is my time to arise, because the enemy is a liar. God has given me promises, and he said, I don't lie. I will do what I said I would do. But he sent me to Esther. Well, let me back up before that, because I'm coming to a close. I was in a meeting, and because like I said, it was like this sometimes, and I'm a mouthpiece, and I'm supposed to speak. And I was in a meeting, and I was diagnosed in October, so it must have been November. It could have been December. And there's this man from Australia, and he was at Grace Place, and he had spoken. He said, I never remember your name. And I said, Nancy. And he said, Nancy, I see the Lord giving you a ring. It's a stamp ring. And I knew he meant a signet ring. And he said, you are a woman of authority. He said, you've been going through a really rough time this summer all by yourself. And he said, but this is a woman of authority and a mighty woman of God. Said, let's gather around and pray for her. And so they just smothered me and I didn't hear another word. And so, but then after some things that happened, the Lord reminded me, and he said, he sent me to Esther chapter 9 when I got the number 15. And I was reading in there, and the king comes, and it's after Haman's tried to, you know, his plots done fell back on him because they hung him. And the king says, Esther, what would you like? She said, I would like all of the Jews to be able to go and kill the Philistines. So on the 13th, they did that. And then on the 14th, he goes, and again, it's kind of like, Esther, what would you like? And she said, I'd like them to be able to go finish it. So he said, okay. And on the 15th was a day of celebration. But for some reason, I felt led to go and let's dig in. Let's get some history here, even though I'd read Esther before. And he sent me to Esther 8:8. And we'll go ahead and turn there. Esther's before Job. There, thank you, Lord. And let me see, where am I at? Verse 9. He said to her, what is your petition? It will be granted unto you. But in Esther chapter 8, verse 8, now 8 is the number for new beginnings. Ah, double new beginnings, Lord. You yourselves write a decree and said concerning the Jews, as you please. He's telling this to Mordecai, the king is. In the name of the king, seal it with the king's signet ring. And I didn't have this ring at that time. But I got up and I wrote a declaration, and it says, whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, nobody can revoke. So before I got my ring, I said, Lord, I decree and declare that cancer cannot live in my body, that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. And I decreed and decreed and decreed and decreed and whatever, because I remembered that I had a ring. But then it was like, then the Lord gave me the scripture, John 15:7. If you abide in me, and you know, you always say, well, if he abides in me and I abide in him. No. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If my words abide in you. And the Lord spoke to me after the first week that I spoke. And he said, if I had to speak light and it was, what makes you think you ain't gonna speak? Now, he didn't quite talk Southern, I don't think, or use incorrect English, but he does in my mind sometimes. And so I'm going pretty fine, but then I had some CDs I had taught on the potter and the clay and the Ark of the Covenant and different stuff. And I called my pastor and I said, Elaine, can you copy some of those CDs? Because people had asked for them. And she said, yes. And I go in the church. But that Tuesday, I had went to a meeting with a friend, Audrey. And she said, Nancy, I just hope this encourages you. And I started crying. And I was in a low place at that time. And I think this was like March. I think it might have been before or after. I don't even know if I went to Alaska. It doesn't matter, March, April, May. And I said, Audrey, I don't know where I'm at. And I don't know how I got here. So I don't know how to get out of here. And I was so lost. And I said, I don't know where I'm at, God. How did I get here? And that was Tuesday. And then Thursday I go, they have prayer on Thursday morning. I went in, Elaine said, how are you? I said, I don't want another person to ask me that. I don't want to tell you that I have all this stuff. The gout was terrible going through all of that. And the gout was one of the worst things. And then I couldn't eat. The weight was coming off. And she said, well, and I said, Elaine, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know how I got here. She said, do you want the truth? I know what's wrong. I said, yeah, I don't like where I'm at. I want to change. I prayed this morning, Lord, I came here one way. I'm going home another. I don't want to be the same. She said, Nancy, you're not doing what, because at the meeting, let me back up, excuse me. At the meeting, this man's teaching on how God used Joseph and Abraham and Tom, Dick, and Harry. And he mentioned Moses. Now, he didn't do a lot of scripture, but he was just telling them. But the Lord said to me, he reminded me, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And it's like, whoa. What do I have in my hand? Well, I don't have it in my hand. I am a mouth to the body of Christ, and I know that. And so I thought that Tuesday, and then Wednesday, when I went Thursday for prayer, Elaine said, Nancy, you're a mouth, and you're not doing what God told you to. Because I sat there all during the winter, and I thought I was so sick, I could hardly sit from the chemo. I just was so, I thought, I'm so tired. I need to go home and go to bed. And it's like, what am I? And I said, but I know Elaine wants me to preach. They think, they honor me. They think I'm so anointed, and I am. And I'm not used to that, and they honor me. She said, we want you in the, and her husband, Jonathan, we want you in the pulpit as much as God wants you in there. And I said, I don't have anything in me, God. I don't have anything to say. I was beating myself up. I was speaking perverse against the word of God and everything. And it was kind of like, so she said, Nancy, you need to speak. And I knew I needed to, and I didn't want to. And I went home, and that was Thursday. And I went home, and so the next Thursday, I was going to try to go to prayer, and I didn't want to, and I didn't really make a big effort. And I didn't go, but I knew it was pivotal with my healing. I had to get up and speak and do what God had called me to do. So I called her and I said, Elaine, I'm not coming to prayer, but I will speak Sunday. And it was like, oh, wow. And I spoke two Sundays because it's always, you're free. I spoke one time on the Ark of the Covenant, that we are the Ark of the Covenant because we carry the presence of God. And I did a 3-week series and I thought, I didn't even think I could do two, let alone three. And I could probably do a month, who knows. And because God is good and I'm filled with the word, and the anointing of God. And so I said, okay, I'll speak. And I spoke 2 weeks. I spoke the first week and was just honest and laid it out there that I took on a victim mentality because she said, Nancy, I said, I don't know how what happened. She said, you want me to tell you what happened? She said, it's like you just kind of went downhill from that diagnosis. When they diagnosed you, that she said, you just kind of, that you know. And every time they would pray, they'd say, joy for the journey, joy for the journey. And I thought, what do you mean joy for the journey? But anyway, I started speaking and everything's going along pretty good that we thought and everything. And then I had a chemo treatment the week before July 31st, which would make it around the 24th, I guess. And I have them every Monday and I tolerate it really well. Just they, you know, then all of a sudden I come home from that treatment and I said, my belly hurts. I have a bellyache because they give me Benadryl and I'm real sleepy that day, but I had a bellyache and I didn't feel good. And I'll tell you this, it's kind of crazy, but I had a random thought 2 weeks before my stomach hurt. And I thought, when was the last time I passed gas? Well, it sounds crazy, but it was a random thought. And I should have said, well, Lord, why was that thought? Where'd that come from in question or whatever? But anyway, everything was stuck right here. And the weight was still coming off. And I'd go to the grocery store, and I couldn't stand the smell of food. And Larry and Kylie said, Mom, you want to go eat because I'm losing weight? I said, honestly, I will watch you eat. You can eat anything you want, but please don't try to force food on me. I'd go days without eating because it just was too bad and everything. So that Monday night, I threw up, and then I threw up again the next morning, and we went to the emergency room, and they gave me morphine for the pain, and they gave me Zofran for the nausea. But because I'm a chemo patient, they run every test you can. They didn't do a lung x-ray that day, thank God, but they do blood here, and 30 minutes later, blood here, and electrolytes, and whatever the stuff is and everything. And so they said, well, Ms. Harden, we can't find anything. Just go home, and if it persists, get in touch with your primary care doctor. And I left and I knew I was sick. I was so sick. So I tried to get in touch with my primary care because I'm getting ready to turn 65 then August, and this is the end of July. And the lady that did the appointments, she said, oh, Miss Robinette, guess who you're going to see? They have an appointment Thursday and you get to see Dr. Joseph. And she's Indian and she's prayed for me. She's a godly woman. And I started crying. I said, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And so I went Thursday to see Dr. Joseph and I was so weak I couldn't even hardly walk in the place. And they, you know, did your vitals and everything. And Dr. Joseph comes in and she says, oh, Miss Robinette, she said, you are sick. What's wrong? And I said, Dr. Joseph, I don't know. She turned around, she left her office. She wouldn't call the ambulance for them to come get me to take me over. She's in a separate building from the main hospital and take me over. And so I prayed, God, please, I prayed going down, give a doctor wisdom. Let them know something's wrong with me. And so this doctor come in and said, well, it sounds like it could be this blah, 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 something with your stomach, or it could be a blockage. And so I thought, oh, she knows what she's doing. So they did an x-ray and they said, oh, there's some blockage there. So let's do a CT scan. Took 2 hours. I was in there all day long. Took 2 hours to find them for me to drink this stuff to do the CT scan. And so I drank that and I went and had a CT scan. And when it finally came back, here come in three surgeons in the door and they said, yes, Miss Robinette, you have blockage. But said we can put an NG tube and keep it a week and it will probably heal itself. Because the surgeon didn't want me to have to cut me because I'm a chemo patient. And I said, okay, whatever. I never had an NG tube and hope I never do again. And so they put me in the hospital. And I mean, I'm sick. I'm just really sick by this time. And so on Thursday, and they drew all this stuff off, and it got a little bit better by Wednesday evening and Thursday morning. They decided to take it out and give me fluids. And they took it out and they gave me fluids. And I told them, I said, oh, half a cup of broth and a popsicle. I said, I don't feel so good. And they said, they called the surgeon, and he was an awesome man. And he said, let him walk, have her walk around the thing. And I walked and I went back to my room and I said, I have to throw up. And Larry gives me this little bitty thing and I threw it up. They said, don't throw it away. And then they gave me that big little pink bucket thing. You get 2 liters from a half a cup of broth. And my surgeon's running right back in and he said, Miss Robinette, I'm sorry. He said, you will be in surgery in the morning. He said, it didn't work. We wanted to try to do that, but it didn't work. And I'm thinking, but I laid there. I was so weak, and I didn't pray. I didn't pray. I couldn't pray. And somebody had told me before, I didn't have to worry about intercessors. God would raise them up. And so many people prayed for me that I don't even know who they were. And so I just laid there. I was so blindsided, and I said, but God, I trust you. I don't know what's going on, but God, I trust you. And so that Friday morning, he said, I'm going to try to go in laparoscopically because he didn't want to cut me. And he did, and he looked, and I have an incision like this from, I lost my kidney, you know. So then I had my tubes tied, and it's scar tissue is what that small bowel blockage was. And the NG tube didn't clear it up, so we're doing surgery, and he's working over here. And then he goes and looks at this side because you know what happened? My small intestines decided to go fill that little empty hole that my kidney left. And then my large intestines decided to go follow it too. And it was all twisted and turned and tunneled. And nothing was going through. And he come out because he said if he was going to cut me, he'd come tell Larry Ray. And he told Kylie and Larry, he said, I can't believe she didn't have major problems over the last 24 years. That everybody was just in shock. And 4.5-hour surgery to straighten it all out. But I had a young girl come and see me that I had met at a meeting with Dave McDonald. And she said, Miss Nancy, the Lord loves you, and he's right here. In fact, he's got his head on your chest laying on you. And said, he's just smiling and laughing. And she said, you're going to look back on this when it's over, and you're going to see that it was pivotal. And when I remembered it, I saw a foot turn like a basketball player in your healing. And so it's like, okay. And but Dr. Bruntz told me, he said, you're going to do the surgery Friday morning. You will be in here another week. So 2 weeks. And like I said, that I didn't eat anything for 2 weeks. They put this stuff in me and did it and whatever. And but then I got out on August the 5th. And I had an appointment on my birthday, August the 11th, 65 years old, with my oncologist to see what we're going to do and everything. And I was so weak, I could hardly walk in the hospital because I got diarrhea for 2 days, and I couldn't get ahead of it. Well, I didn't go to the emergency room because I had an appointment with her. And so I walked in, and I said, y'all need to check everything that can be checked. I'm not doing good. Something's wrong here, you know. And I thought it was a natural progression, and it would just clear itself up and whatever. So I go in to see Dr. Steele, and she said, she's military. And she come in, and she said, Miss Robinette, I am so sorry. You were going through something 24 years old that should have been, resolved years ago. And she comes over and she hugs me. And she said, we're going to go and put some fluids. You're definitely dehydrated. And then they did my blood test, and my potassium and my magnesium are low. And she said, I hate to on your 61st birthday, but you need to spend the night in the hospital. And I said, I don't care. Do what you want. I don't care. And so we did. And then my sister called and wished me happy birthday, the one that came to visit me with the word from God. And I texted her and I said, well, I have to spend the night in the hospital. And then the next morning, the 12th, which is establishing government, I heard a very still, quiet voice. It was so quiet, I almost missed it. And he said, your warfare's over. And I said, I need to tell Judy. That's all it was. I need to tell Judy. And then I heard, but I kept thinking on my birthday, 65 is fine. 65 is fine. You get your Medicaid card and all that junk and you're over the hill and you can't do anything. But I said, 65, look at me. It looks good. Thank you, Mary Beth. And but then I heard, you've been reborn again. And I thought, wow, God. But it just went over my head. And I went home, and Larry had to go to the dentist the next day, and I called Audrey. I said, Audrey, I really felt led to. I said, you can come visit. I don't need a babysitter, but you can come visit. And we come, and she visits for a couple hours and whatever. She said, Nancy, I don't know what to pray, but I need to pray with you before I leave. And she gave me a book after my surgery 24 years ago, Hinds Feet on High Places. And she reaches out, and she said, Father God, you asked Nancy to go on this journey with you, and she agreed. But it's lasted longer than we thought it would, and it's entailed a whole lot more than what we thought it would. But she said, Nancy, your labor is over. She said, you were much afraid in the book, but you had become grace and glory. And I'm just weeping. I'm just weeping. She left, and I started taking notes. Where Where are you born? In the hospital. On my birthday. And my oncologist put me in there. But I didn't tell this part. She went down and she comes back up and she drags the two receptionists and some soldier in a uniform and the two nurses in the chemo room and drug Larry from upstairs. She said, we're going to have a birthday party. Today's Miss Robinette's 65th birthday. Everybody sing happy birthday to her. And tears are just rolling. And I said, who admitted me to the hospital but a doctor? The Lord just started showing me all this stuff. And I thought, I've been reborn. My warfare is over. But now what are we talking about? Believe in the promises of God, not giving up. So then they put me in a new clinic. Because I'm telling you, when I got out of the hospital, my energy level went through the roof. I've gained 15 to 20 pounds since I got out of the hospital because I was just so bad. And I just started feeling good. Well, then I go and I had a mammogram because they're doing all this 65-year-old stuff. And they said, Miss Robinette, your mammogram didn't come back good. You have to come, whatever. I thought, God, I don't need this. And so... But I went and I had it done, and they said there was some change, so I had to have a biopsy. Well, they started me back on the chemo 3 weeks ago, and I've had three treatments. So I had my first treatment on Monday, and I had a biopsy on Tuesday. And the fear is there, but my sister has a man from Africa come, from Ghana, and Pastor Jack's preaching, and he's talking on, when you get a bad word, what do? And he said, Esau got a bad word, and he shook it off, because he said, you'll live by the sword, you'll bow down to your brother. But at the end of the story, it was Jacob that bowed down to Esau, and it was Esau that was a wealthy man as well as Jacob. And he said, but shake it off, and it was good. So I went back the next night, and the next night, my sister had her daughter, Tracy, sing, it is well with my soul. And that Tuesday morning, while I was cleaning, I heard the Lord remind me, not of the song, but of 2 Kings chapter 4, the Shunammite woman. Because she had made room for the prophet, they gave her, the Lord blessed her with a child, and the child died at 12 years old. And she laid him in the floor, and she said, get me a cart and a donkey. And he said, what's wrong? And she said, it is well. And her husband sees her going, he says, what's wrong? It is well. And she keeps going like four times, it is well. Was she lying? No. She was calling those things that be not as though they are. And the Lord said to me, are you going to believe what I told you? Or are you going to believe a doctor's report? Are you going to believe me before they see it on a CAT scan? Or are you going to believe the word of the Lord? Because what are those promises? I'm not a man that I should lie. My word will not return void. It will accomplish that I intended to. If I abide in you, if you abide in, or whatever, and my words abide in you, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and his words are in me. So that was it right there. He said, I want you to trust me. And I said, Lord, but I kept hearing over and over and over my pastor pray, joy for the journey, joy for the journey. And the Lord reminded me last week, it says, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews chapter 1, but in verse, here we go. I had it marked that 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that sets before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It says, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's sitting down at the right hand of the Father. So I said, I learned, I don't care what you think about me. I have embraced this because I didn't tell a lot of people. I was so ashamed, and I didn't want a wrong prayer. No prayer was better than a wrong prayer. But I said, Lord, I will embrace where I'm at. You have the right to do what you want with me. And when I went to the little nurse to schedule the biopsy, which came back good, she said, oh, you live out by where I do. And she starts talking. She's on her third husband. It's not a good marriage. It's one thing after another. Come to find out, I knew the first husband's family and whatever. And I said, have you seen the war room? And I just started talking. I stayed 2 hours in there with her. And I said, I just feel like I need to pull some stuff off of you. Can I pray with you? Now, we're in a military hospital. She lifts her hand, she bows her head, and I got up, and I was there for 2 hours. And I wanted to go to a Bible study that I'd been called and told. The Father has the table prepared, and whatever you need's on that table. And Nancy, you know what I remembered? Back 4 or 5 years ago, you said, if you take care of God's business, he'll take care of yours. And I stayed and took care of God's business, and I later asked him, Lord, did I have to go through that biopsy to get to meet this young girl that lives right up the road from me and minister to her, pray with her, share scripture with her for 2 hours? And she said, if you do Bible study or know anybody that does around you, I'd like to come. And she lives right up. See, God orders our footsteps. And he said he wants to use us. So he said, have joy for the journey. And Eric and I were talking, and Clay did. Jesus didn't mind being interrupted. He wanted to go from Thompson to Harlem, and Renz is 18 miles that way. He said, I must needs go through Samaria to meet that woman. And he said, Nancy, be interrupted and sit there and talk to this woman. When I got to the Bible study at 15 after 12, because they'll go a little bit long, there's a recliner and there's a piece of paper because I'm recovering from the surgery, save for Nancy. I cried. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. What promises has God spoke to you? Will he not do it? Did he not say it? So what I did, and this is what I'm challenging you to take and do, because when I went to Alaska, I think is where it was, because I spoke in Augusta, you know, Augusta, and then Nancy grabbed my arm. How are you? Are you doing good? She says, come here, I got you something. Because when I was decreeing, declaring, and remembering about that signet ring that had been given to me through a prophetic word, I said, Lord, I don't know who has my signet ring, but I want it. If they've got to buy it or get it out of their jewelry box, or Lord, show me where to go get it. But I want that signet ring. And Nancy went and she got me this ring. So you, but the Lord's given you one by faith. And he said, write out your declaration. Lord, and I wrote this October the 13th. I decree and declare I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ, that cancer cannot live in my body. I decree I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My sins are forgiven. I decree and declare my DNA has been changed because I was adopted into the family of God by the blood of Jesus. I decree and declare no weapon formed against me will prosper. I can take any deadly thing and it will not harm me. Therefore, I decree and declare no harmful side effects from the chemo. I decree and declare that my taste buds will not be affected, that I will not have mouth sores, I will not have breakout on my skin, that my hair will not thin or be affected by the chemo. I decree and declare that no part of my body will be adversely affected. I decree and declare that the chemo will only go and target all the cancer cells in my body and kill them, and that they will be removed in a supernatural way. I make these declarations according to the word of Esther 8:8. And God says, I watch over my word to perform it. But he said, if I spoke and said light, and he didn't look out there and say, D, it's awful dark. What do you think I ought to do? He said, light. He called those things that be not what he wanted. So if the devil's coming at you with a lie, you decree and declare the word of the Lord. And remember, he said, Father of many nations, what he calls you, who he says you are. He says, I am healed. He says, I'm redeemed from the curse. We've got to get a hold of the word of God, and we've got to start speaking it, and we've got to renew this mind to who he says we are. When he calls me, he says, Grace. When he calls Nancy, he says, Grace. I am a weapon of mass destruction. I am boots on the ground. And the devil is so mad because he cannot triumph over me because of who my Father is and who I am in him. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord, that your word will not return void, that seed has been planted, and we decree and declare all together, the body of Christ, that it will bring forth much fruit, fruit that will endure to the end and bring glory to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.